Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and we're here to break down the merge episode of Survivor 42. Alexa, you put it as merge, but it really wasn't, was it? It's the mergatory.
It ended up being the merge. I don't need to hear any of this changing history nonsense. We'll talk about the twist. Yeah, it got better, but no history's being changed, Jeff. I don't know about this, but I have to say, I have 3 pages worth of notes tonight. I think Phil has 0 pages worth of notes. I am so, so glad that Roxroy was cast. Anyone who says that he is boring and pointless after tonight, that should be out the window. He is not a Survivor player, but he totally elevates this season because he is not. I'm so happy he's here. I'm pretty shocked that he smashed the hourglass. And I'm into him. I think he's great. And I hope his wife isn't mad at him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the nice thing though about in this day and age where everything is so nitpicked that some people go on like 2-hour podcasts about it. That's a shot at somebody. But anyway, what I like about this is Roxroy is married to who he's married to, and they love each other for whoever they are. He's allowed to say his wife nags him, and that does not make him misogynist or a bad person. He just said his wife nags him.
She would say that he was really annoying if she was there.
I am sure that she takes her fair shots at this guy, and I'm telling you, he has given her plenty of material. But I totally, totally agree with you that Roxroy is entertaining in his own way. And I have to say, I think what I'm enjoying so much about season 42 right now, as compared to 41, is this is everything I've ever wanted for a really long time, where we have this guy who doesn't play Survivor, but he like just built this like amazing shelter and did all that stuff. And then we have these two hunks who are going about like talking about how like their lives have sucked because they're hunks. And it's like the old version and the young version. And now they're going to work together and do everything. Like, there are 3 Dan Barrys on this season, and I'm so into it. Like, I'm finally getting...
Who are the other?
Well, okay.
Who are all 3 of them?
This is the wrong statement. What the statement really is this is the season if Dan Barry makes it further in Survivor Panama. I would have gotten to see Dan Fuego and Terry run it and, like, pull somebody else under their wing. And I'm getting that here. I'm finally getting that with Mike and Jonathan. So I'm very happy about that. Although Mike could eat Dan Fuego for dinner.
If Tony Kornheiser could be on Survivor, like, I would love it. I want crusty people on Survivor.
That's it. But bringing it back to Roxroy, I just think like it's something different. And I think right now Survivor and CBS is so desperate to cast air quotes different. And cast differently from what they're doing, that what they have done in the past. And then they turn around and they say, okay, look at how different our cast looks. This season, though, look how different the cast actually is. In season 41, they might have looked different, but they were all the same archetype that we have seen every season of Survivor. Just because they look different than what we are used to, there was nothing really unique about the storylines. We had seen most of it before. This season, though, I do feel like we're getting a lot of uniqueness in who these people are. And we're getting different perspectives that we haven't really seen on this show so far. And I like that we're getting Romeo and High and Omer, who we will talk plenty about. But then Roxroy, who really goes and just owns his role on this season. They did such a good job with this cast that I still hate that they all have to play with the hourglass twist, because it's always going to leave a bad taste in your mouth. But this is giving me serious Gabon vibes, where it's going to be polarizing. There's really no doubt about it. However, these people came to play and they're unique. And you can't say that about season 41. You can't say that about a lot of seasons. That's the thing. A lot of seasons, they might come to play, but they're not going to be unique. Or they had a really weird cast that the game just sucks, because like South Pacific probably could have been a great cast if it wasn't a terrible season. This, though, it feels like it's clicking. Now, granted, we have a lot of stupid stuff. Tonight, the hourglass, none of us were going to be happy. But I just think Roxroy, Jonathan, Mike, Marianne eating up so much screen time in such a unique way. We've never seen a character like Marianne who has this much control over the game. We'll talk about that too.
She's on it.
She is on it. And the thing she is saying makes sense. But then we have the opposite with Drea. and high. These are people that are all over. And then we get a Tori who is, I said she was a villain three episodes ago and I got so much shit for it. She is such a villain, but it's so good. It brings me back to the old villain days. She reminds me of Tammy. That's right. That was for McKenna. She reminds me of Tammy. She reminds me of Tammy from Marquesas, where she is 100% a villain. She is, but super entertaining, fitting her role. And I was so pumped when she won immunity. I was still nervous Jonathan was going to get voted out and I would have been pissed. But I was so pumped Tori won it because screw all y'all. You deserved to have her win that.
I thought it was really fun that she won it. And she's like, to me, she's like a harmless kind of villain. Like I have so many things to say about this episode. I absolutely loved this episode. Apart from the fact that an hourglass was smashed and not turned over. Maybe if Roxoy just turned it over, I'd be a little less annoyed. However, like Tori's not like high, to me, High is more of a villain than Tori. Like High is like, I want to control. I want like, and High is playing a really good game. Tori is like picks, but like she and Roxroy are just like never meant to be within a million miles of each other. And then in one of the transition scenes, Tori does something that I deeply relate to, and she's on the beach and the wave starts to go towards her and she runs away because she doesn't want to get wet. Like she's so like silly and she's so herself. And I know she's tried, like, I think we're kind of past the, like, I'm a therapist, but I'm going to say I'm a caretaker. Like she is just like, she cannot hide who she is. And for better or for worse, like I'm sure people are annoyed with her, but I just think it's really real and it's really funny. And everyone can say like, I would play Survivor with such grace, but like
nobody would.
You're telling me you wouldn't roll your eyes as much as Tori? Like, she's being who she's being. And I appreciate that about her. And I wanted my girl Chanel to be safe, which she ended up being, even though she voted quite incorrectly. When Tori won immunity, I was like, heck yeah. Like she was the one who was so upset. She was the only one who seemed actually upset about this. And she ended up winning. Like, what? That's a great story.
Well, because she knew she was going. Tori reminds me of Blondie a lot. And I literally will just do that because that was the situation. And I think it draws attention to it. Tori got on a tribe that she just was not going to fit in on. Like, mm-hmm. She was, her back was against the wall at that first tribal council. Her name was coming up. Romeo, Drea, they seemed like they really bonded. She just, it didn't seem like they knew what to do with Tori. And so Tori always had to scrap. And Tori really does remind me of Blondie, where it's like, if you're going to make me scrap, I am going to scrap. There is nothing that you can do about it. That's just what I'm going to do. And then what happened was, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. She's now horrible. She is a villain. She's terrible to everybody. She's mean. We can't trust her. You all kind of did that to her. Like you all kind of pushed her to become that version of herself. I don't know if she would have been like that if her name wasn't coming up at the first tribal council. Now, what I'm feeling though, is when I watch this, the reason she's so emotional here is because she knows she's done.
Yeah.
There are three Takus. There are two Vatis. They could all team up and easily just say, we're going to vote her out. And she has no backing from her tribe. No one needed this more than Tori. And I'm so pumped that she won it. I don't actually find her to be very annoying. I think this is just the personality that we got because of her starting tribe. If she started on Taku, she might be getting a Marianne at it. Now, she's not going to be giggling and happy like Marianne. But I think that she could be somebody who is navigating her way through the game in a unique way that we could see. Blondie, Sierra, it's this younger female role where when they don't start on the right tribe, they immediately just get labeled as villain, bad, they're deceitful. I don't necessarily think she is. I just think that's the situation because of this season. And it's not like Roxroy, Drea, and Romeo are like, actually, Tori, if we could just get you to chill, we'd go really far. They're all done with her. And I don't blame them. I just think it's fun that she is going to be on the jury no matter what, because she ain't winning. So I love that she's going to be on the jury and we're going to get to see her pitch her case because she's going to be so much fun to watch do that. I'm very grateful that she got through one more episode. I'm loving watching her.
She's going to have some awesome jury reactions for sure. She also has there are like so many like funny things that happen this episode. This episode I think every merge should be 2 hours. I feel like I got plenty of strategy and I got more camp life, personal content stuff. Like that was that, whatever that ratio was, I'm all about it. And 2 hours for a merge is like is super necessary, mm-hmm. minus hourglass stuff. But Tori looks like this is like a so inconsequential, but they just showed it to show how ridiculous Tori is. Goes up to Jonathan and says, "I'd really love to keep winning immunities, so it would benefit me for you to not be here." And Jonathan, to his credit, again, is like, I think they cut it out before we actually hear him say anything, but he's like, meh, I get that.
Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
What? She's not lying.
No, she's not. And that's the thing. I think a lot of people feel that way. I also love that, like, Romeo was starting out like, you know, I got to play with who I got to play with. I'm okay. I'm all about the eight. And then as soon as he had power, God, if he's not Kenny, and that's why I think I keep thinking of Gabon, because he is literally Kenny.
He sits like Kenny.
He does.
The thing that Kenny did, it was so distinct. He would like pretty much be crawling. Like,
he's sitting on his leg.
Over just like Kenny.
Yeah. But the thing that's crazy about it is as soon as he gets an ounce of power, he is like, you know what? I have 1 gallon of gasoline. We're going to make it to California from New York. You guys better be ready. And we're not filling up again. He does not care. And as soon as he got that power, Jonathan's got to go. But before that, he was like, hey, I'll work with whoever. I just got to get. It's so funny to see how what position you're in changes people. And that's kind of goes back to the Tori thing. She has had no agency, which was a mm-hmm. word that was used today in this game. Yeah. Romeo had no agency. Then he got agency and he said, screw it. I'm out of here. I'm doing what I got to do. And we see him almost really blow this game up. He's not going to be able to turn it off. Romeo is the villain of this season. He even said it here. Once I hit the merge, this is a new version of Romeo. He is the villain of this season. He's lasting a long time because of his stature and his gameplay, and he is going to cause so much havoc. And it's all going to make sense. That's the difference. So many times we see these people who cause havoc just for the sake of causing havoc. What he is doing, what he tried to do tonight, and how he played these 2 hours totally made sense. I don't understand. People are saying High is the villain of the season. Alexa, what is your take on High right now?
I think, well, the thing is, villain is so like whatever. Like Phil, I think you just named 4 people who, and there's 11 people left and as villains. Like,
they're all mean.
I think it's like, yeah, but they're like, it's good mean. Like, I like it a lot. I mean, a villain is somebody who is just like, I think at this point, just like very confident in themselves and like other people are aware of it. I feel like that is now like the weird bar for a villain, and not in a bad way. Like, I think I like how High and Romeo both said the same thing tonight. They were like, I want this. Like, I want the power. I want to be in control. And that's really refreshing. It's especially refreshing to hear like multiple people say that, but also it's so common for people to say, well, I want to seem like this or that. I want to seem like the number 2. They're like, hell no, I want to be the guy. And it's really cool to have 2 people want to be that person at the same time. And I think, to your point, I think all of Romeo's, everyone's like, pretty much everyone's thoughts made sense tonight. Like, obviously High doesn't want to get rid of his number 1, and Romeo like suggesting Jonathan is who wouldn't agree with that?
Of course. And they all were going along with it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I am curious, like, what, I guess, and this is all the credit to Omer. Like, it is getting rid of Jonathan is the like overall correct move. But I think to Jonathan's credit, he is not just big, scary guy who can win challenges. He's also he's a valuable asset. And I think like, they have played up this Jonathan and Marion tension even throughout the first half of the episode. And then when he threw her name out, he immediately goes to a confessional and he's like, yeah, I'm kind of down to get rid of her, but I really threw that out so that people wouldn't seem like we're tight. And yeah. I was like, yeah, like they're fine. They're good.
Yeah. And that's where I think there's been a big misconception. Like, again, going back to the Jonathan scene where he was annoyed with Lindsay and yeah, I do think it unplugged because for a moment I could hear myself.
I'm back.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
Sorry.
There was that moment with Jonathan and Lindsay, which again turned into a 2-hour podcast. But that happens, and it's, again, he doesn't dislike them. He's just annoyed in that moment because of who he is and his personality and who they are and what their personality is. But like he said tonight, he wants them to think that he's willing to get rid of Marianne. In reality, he wasn't. That's why Marianne didn't go home tonight. This was a perfect opportunity to get rid of Marianne. But they stuck to the plan. And they said, no, we all get along better than you all get along. on your tribes. And so we're going to stick together. They got High to vote for Lydia tonight. High voted for Lydia.
Shocking.
Because, well, what High realized was I need to play the game with the people I said I was going to play the game with. I don't have the numbers. Lydia's not voting for the winner of this game. We know she's not going to be on the jury. Jeff told us she's not going to be on the jury. So he votes out Lydia to prove to everybody else, I am loyal to you and I will do what you need me to do moving forward. I thought it was a smart move by High. And I think even though it's kind of confusing on how the votes went down and everything, I think it was smart because he is letting them know I am seriously working with you. I would have went to Rocks for her, but now I'm all in with you guys because Lydia wasn't going to make it through and we got to work together to win this game.
Yeah. So the way that the votes broke down is the people who voted for Lydia are Lindsay, Jonathan, Marianne. So the Taku four remained together.
Yep.
Mike, High, and Drea.
Which is that alliance.
They stuck together. Tori and Chanel voted for Jonathan. Romeo and Lydia voted for Marianne. And Roxroy, I missed this, voted for Lydze.
I think it was Lynze. I do think it was Lindsay.
Worse.
Well, it was Lindsay, though. Okay, that's who he was voting for. Yeah. He was voting for Lindsay. So that did happen. So breaking this down. So you said Romeo and who was the other one? Romeo and who?
Romeo and Lydia voted for Marianne.
So Romeo and Lydia. So I think the plan with that one was if for some reason an idol gets played by Lydia, now it's between Jonathan and Marianne. And we knew Marianne had an idol. So who knows what's going to happen here? Tori and Chanel just had no freaking clue what was going on. They are not being told a
My
damn
girl thing. Is no one wants to play with her at recess. It makes me sad. Chanel, I'll swing on the swings with you.
It was sad. And it just like all those awkward moments of like they come up. We can't walk away again this time because if we walk away, that's what we did the last time. And they do it, and then they all just walk away. Like they had nothing else. And Chanel said nothing. So it was a super awkward moment. And I feel like they didn't have to edit that at all. It was just super awkward. But Chanel has no shot here. She's in a lot of trouble moving forward. I don't know what's going on with her right now, but she would have went home had Roxroy not hit the
Yeah. Other. Roxroy, the really changing history, not turning back time, changing history, which feels tad more dramatic than usual.
It just makes me feel so good that I was the only one, like out of all these Survivor like podcasts, everybody was all over Chanel at the pre-merge. And I'm like, yes, I didn't fall for it. I know obviously you were going to do it, but I was.
Well, I just love her. I can't let go.
I just can't believe how close she was to not making the merge. Like she would not have.
I think she's still here. She and Tori are like, they're hanging on. Let's talk about the merge twist. As soon as Jeff started whispering on my TV, I was like, I need a tea or something. So let's hear. What do you think? I like also one of the three things they changed is that it's Applebee's.
It's Applebee's, which is dope because I'm going to tell you what, the six people who ate that might not have been able to actually make it to tribal because they were just sitting in the woods dumping their brains out. Oh my God. Eating Applebee's when you're eating normal is a disaster for your stomach. Eating it when you haven't eaten in however long. I mean, Jonathan, my man, I would not have wanted to be sleeping next to you for like a month after that. Oh my God. He had like, I wish they would have told us how many burgers he ate because James had like 9 or whatever it was in that one China challenge. I wish they would have told us if Jonathan topped that because it just seemed like he wasn't going to stop.
I feel like if anyone who is involved in Survivor production is listening, please do this. It would have been really great if that next confessional, it was like Jonathan ate 9 cheeseburgers, like in his lower third. Also Davey had one of the best tweets of the night and it was a gif of like Jeff on the helicopter and he was like 18 eggs, 9 pieces of cheese, one bowl of grapes.
Yeah.
18 Crazy. Eggs. How did this man must make a lot of money?
Seriously. 18 eggs for like one meal, he said.
I don't know. He might have been playing it. Like, I'm sure he was exaggerating a little bit, but like also probably not.
Has anybody, let's just get the Gaston song playing. I mean, let's go. When I was a lad, I ate 5 dozen eggs and, you know, whatever it is. We got to get that going. He is real life Gaston. He just eats eggs. That's all he does. So I love it.
Raw eggs. Just pours them down.
Like, so here's my thing with this. I like that Jeff told them the person was going to have power. From what they were saying,
I was shocked he did that.
But from what they were saying, my God, did he tell them? Because every one of them was like, he made that sound like a threat. Like, are you sure you don't want to do this? It's so much to the point that Drea was able to figure out what the twist was.
Drea absolutely miles ahead of everyone else.
Absolutely. And that wasn't the case in 41. And so she did that. And good for her. Like, good for her on doing that. And figuring that out and whatever. But it seems like there was even more to this than what we saw, where Jeff was like, it's a bad choice to not go. I think he made it abundantly clear to them that it was a bad choice for them to not go. And so they sent Roxroy. Now, what's funny is, if they send Lindsay, she probably doesn't switch it. The reason being, Jonathan and Marianne were on the winning tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So she probably doesn't switch it to keep Jonathan safe. She was really defending Jonathan tonight. And the only reason Roxroy switched it was because of Tori.
This seemed very people heavy. Unlike last time, it was immune heavy. Yeah. This time was very, okay, my people are on one side. My anti-people are on the other side.
And the thing was, we saw that tonight because Roxroy was never in danger of going home.
Yeah.
Last season, we were led to believe Erica was always in danger of going home.
Even though she kind of
apparently
wasn't.
But so Roxroy was never in danger of going home. I liked the socializing we got because of this. And we the whole time knew he was going to flip it because of Tori, though. If that's Romeo instead of Tori and Tori's on the other tribe, he probably doesn't do it because he wanted to get rid of Tori that badly.
Yeah.
You see that at the beginning of the episode. He's not getting along with Tori. Nobody is getting along with Tori on her tribe. He would have done that. But the two people he's the closest ally with in the game are on the losing tribe and himself. He gets to save the three closest people to him in the game by flipping that. There's no way he wasn't going to do it. If they would have sent Lindsay, though, it would have gotten interesting. And I'm pretty curious what would have happened there. Ultimately, it's still total BS. It's total nonsense. It's a waste of everybody's time. It shouldn't be happening. I'm happy for Roxroy that he got his moment on Exile, but just send him to Exile Island. Let him sit there for a couple days. Who cares?
He was like, can I do this for the rest of the game?
Yeah, like give him some other advantage. But to do this, I do believe this is the last time we will ever see the Hourglass twist. I think this is it. I think they all know it was a disaster. I think it was just too late by the time they got to season 42. They had to keep it. But I think they know that this is it. It's a disaster. It's a joke. But this episode, this merge episode, was actually freaking awesome, all things considered. And like I said in our predictions with Peridium, they made sure we did not care about the person who went home tonight. And I know that Lydia has a lot of fans. It's because of her Twitter personality. It's not because of really anything she'd done on the show. That's not her fault. That's production's fault, but they did it on purpose so that we wouldn't be pissed off coming out of this episode like we were last season.
I mean, honestly, for what it's worth, like, I feel kind of the same way about Sydney. Like, Sydney didn't do that much on the show. She was just loud on Twitter. So it's kind of the same. And honestly, if I, like, went home in that position, I would be the most exciting Twitter personality out there. Because I feel for Lydia and I feel for Sydney too. It's just like and this always has bothered me. Like when people get medevaced or people get rocked out, like we'll be okay if we love somebody who gets voted out that way. Like I'd rather that than like Lydia and Sydney go out on their Survivor experience and like don't get to experience like the excitement of people cheering for you. But I think like Lydia seems very happy. Lydia like has plenty of fans. She has a hashtag about her butt. So she's doing just fine. But yeah, it sucked. I actually thought Marianne was going to go home because Marianne's personal monologue was longer than Lydia's. Mm. So I was like, Marianne's out of here. They have to stop with that. It's getting so obvious. And I watch Survivor with people who do not analyze it the way that I do. And they're like, oh, they got the monologue. Like, see you later. It's so predictable.
I do think though tonight there was a couple monologues I think the social game between a lot of these players tonight, we saw who our power players are. Let's be real. We saw who the contenders are on this season. And that's Jonathan, that's Hi, that's Mike, that's Marianne, that's Drea, that's Romeo, and that is Omer. Mm-hmm. Those are the power players on this season. One of the winner of this season is coming from that grouping. And I know I just listed off seven people out of the final 11, but still, those are your contenders. Now, granted, one of them is probably going to go home next week because there are so many of them, but we see that all the time. Sarah Lucina was a contender on Survivor 28 until she got voted out. She got voted out of the merge. It happens. It's not that big of a deal, but they drew the line in the sand tonight for the viewer too. They let us know Tori's not winning. Chanel's not winning. Lindsay probably not going to win just because it doesn't seem like she has a leg to stand on. Although the stuff she was saying was actually very smart. It just seems like she's having a hard time. And Roxroy is 100% there for the adventure of this. He's not going to get the votes if he gets to the end, even though people do seem to like him. He's not getting the votes if he gets to the end. We saw these other people come together and create alliances that felt like they made sense. A lot of personal moments. The Mike and Jonathan moment. Those are really good. Hi and Romeo. Great moment.
Mm-hmm.
We had who else was in there? Omer was so good tonight, and we haven't really talked about him at all. But what Omer did tonight with no vote to keep his alliance together and keep his closest ally in the game was so incredibly impressive that I was like, man, I don't know if he's gonna win, but if they're starting up for an All Stars, you know, in season eight, because let's say they drop the four and everything is now 1 through 8.
Drop the four, keep the eight.
Omer people are going to want to see again because mm-hmm. this guy knows how to play Survivor. He is very good at Survivor.
That was such a good moment where he was like, I'm safe and I don't have a vote, so I could just shut up. But he was like, I'm not doing that. I'm safe and I have no vote, so I'm going to get what I want out of it. And I didn't think he was going to pull it off because I thought that High was going to then turn the votes back around. And I can't even like blame Omer for telling Hi that he wanted to get rid of Lydia because he needed those votes. And it ended up working out in his favor. That was so, so, so impressive. And I think what's really cool about all four of the original Taku is that they aren't like, they're not loud about being really close, and I think they don't feel, I'm screaming. I feel like my neighbors can hear me. They're not loud about being as close as they are, and they're defending each other, but not in like an incredibly obvious or desperate way. And I think that's, I think it's all very subconscious how they're doing it, but it's really, really good, and I feel like it's the right way to do it.
I think the only one who was obvious was Lindsay. Defending Jonathan, he's terrible at puzzles, all that, but not for nothing. Good for her for bringing up all his flaws, because I feel like so often, like we saw it with Joe Anglim all the time, nobody knew how to bring up his flaws, and everybody's got flaws. I don't care who you are. Like, you're going to have a flaw, and good for Lindsay at bringing that up when Jonathan's name was coming up, because it started to sway people a bit, and it started to get people to say, you know what, maybe we should do Marianne. Maybe we should. And when Omer did it, think about what Omer did here. Omer took the most minor thing and made Lydia the target. She was just agreeing with him to agree with him. And she was like, yes, I will do it if you want me to. And if you don't want me to, then I won't do it. Like, whatever. But I'd be okay with voting out Jonathan. And he took that one line and got her closest ally to vote her out of the game and keep a man who eats 18 eggs in one sitting.
In one,
his cholesterol, also, like, I'm glad his heart still works because his cholesterol's got to be high.
I'm just so curious. Like, to me, it's like, does he eat the 18 eggs and then the 9 pieces of cheese and then the grits? Or like, how are they all prepared together and does it bear? I have so many questions, and I hope for the opportunity to ask him for that. I hope for the opportunity to ask him that. Yeah, and I think, I mean, especially based on this preview, like, I don't think Omer is seen in any way as like the big time vote whipper here. And I think that benefits him. And I think that's also the benefit of this happening during the merge boot when everyone's such a hot mess. But I don't think anyone's like, oh wow, Omer took over this game. He's the guy. I don't think people are looking at him that way. And I think that's great.
That's why I think he was so good. He nobody even realized it was Omer. Because he doesn't have a vote. He's just doing what he has to do. Nobody even realized. I think Omer, now that he has his vote back, he still got his alliance. He went to bat for them. Omer's in a really, really, really good spot. My biggest concern for Omer, how is he going to get rid of Marianne now without her seeing it coming? That's going to be the hardest part for this Taku tribe, because Marianne definitely seems like she easily is going to get paranoid here. Not in a bad way. Just it seems like she's going to be willing to play that idol.
Which is good. He going to get it? I thought I was really afraid. I was really afraid she was going to go on with that idol tonight, but she said something. She's like, I will play my idol. So I feel like she'll be, I feel like she'll know when to play it.
Yep.
Okay. Real quick, because we're at a quick dead zone. 500 props happened tonight. Hi and Romeo both blurred their mouths for the ninth consecutive week.
Jonathan also blurred.
Jonathan had a mouth blur. Romeo cried and had the episode title. Roxroy cried. Tori cried. Tori won individual immunity. And Tori actually hit 5 rewards tonight.
Nice.
And Hi probably had 10 or more confessionals.
I actually looked it up. So Hi only had 7. He just had a lot of long ones. So for anybody who's keeping track of this, it's broken up as episode 6 and 7. As far as we're concerned, this is episode 6. That's it. We don't care. Although I do think there were 2 episode titles tonight, because I do think they were calling it episode 6 and 7. So we have to look up what the second one was. I think it might have been The Devil You Do, The Devil You Don't, which might have been Roxroy.
That was Roxroy.
But I don't know if that's the name of the episode. We'd have to check that one. Okay. But we always say for these props, we're taking it based on how many did they have tonight. Like in one night, what did they have? Chanel had 5. Hi had 7. Mike had 4. Jonathan had 4, Lindsay had 3, Marianne had 5, Omer with 6, Drea with 4, Romeo with 5, Tori with 4, Lydia with 5, and the first person on this season to get 10 or more confessionals in an episode is Roxroy.
Wow, no.
Wowzer, Bo Bowser.
Also, he got that second episode title, Is the Devil You Do or the Devil You Don't.
There you go.
Roxroy, a true quote box.
He got 11 confessionals. He's the first one on this season to get it. And I got to say, and Logan says it here, great balance. Wow.
Great.
Really is. I know that we've been saying that the editors are doing a better job. 5 for Chanel, 7 for High. 7 was the most of anybody not named Roxroy. 3, which was Lindsay, was the least. That's really not bad.
Roxroy's going to win.
Yeah, and guess what? Andy Vogel put Roxroy on the prop for 10 or more confessionals. And
congratulations, Andy.
Get him out. Get him out. He's not allowed to listen anymore.
What else?
I just think, like, if you're looking at this, and obviously, like, Mike still has his idol. Nobody played anything tonight.
I think
that is huge to take note of.
Okay.
Nobody did. And the 3 people with the amulets, that's how this alliance started. Let's just think about that. Hi, Lindsay, and Drea all went and talked to each other and said, who do you have? Maybe we should actually work together rather than trying to get rid of each other. I have Jonathan. I have Omer. Good. I have Romeo. I have Rox. Great. I have Lydia and I have Mike. There's your group. It's insane. It's crazy. And it all came because of that amulet thing.
And no one seems to really know much about this amulet. Romeo knows. I don't know, like, which Taku people know. And, well, I guess, I don't know if Mike knows about Highs. So it's not super obvious. And even, like, the spoken word idols are not, like, people were speculating if Marianne had an idol, not talking in confidence about it. So it's a little scary because there's 11 people and probably 11 advantages. But it's going to be really interesting. I am really in on the amulet. I think it's a really cool idea. I'm shocked that they didn't think to get rid of each other. I'm sure that's going to come up soon, though.
I think also what's smart about this is you're hedging your bets. You say, okay, we're not going to vote out the other people who have an amulet. However, if one of them happens to go, I still have mine. So who cares? Mm-hmm. But now you have the control. And I think that's the biggest lesson from tonight's episode is if you have the power in Survivor, you will win Survivor. You will always have the upper hand if you have the knowledge, if you have the power. Jeff told them, whoever goes to that island is going to have the power. and none of them took him up on it, and they sent Roxroy, and Roxroy changed the game. Now you have
changed history.
Changed history. My bad. Yes, exactly. And then you turn around and you have these three people with the amulet. These three people have the power. They know who has it. And so they took it and said, well, let me bring my three people to the table. You bring your three people to the table and you bring your three people to the table. But when it comes down to it, my three are going to try to take out your three. And when you go, I'm still going to have the amulet. But I also know that you have it and I can use that against you. So let's either work together or not. And I think that this has been this was a really great episode for everybody know where a lot of the stuff is. There's very few people. I think the only person in this game who might have something that nobody knows about might be Marianne's extra vote. I think that might be the only thing that nobody knows anything about, because I think Drea even mentioned that she had an extra vote tonight. So all of that, it's like, you need to know how to use this now. How do you use this? How do you use this power? And I think that this amulet twist is a good idea. It is really the Token Chains Exile Island Alliance, but it actually is happening. And we saw it. And I'm curious to see what's going to happen next week when there is still the eight intact going up against three. And they can take them out one by one by one. How is that going to work? Because now they're not going to be forced to vote out of Lydia. Chanel, Tori, and who was the other one? Chanel, Tori, Marianne. Marianne's not a sitting duck, but Chanel and Tori are both sitting ducks.
Yeah.
Because one of them can't win immunity. Even when Survivor does have two immunities, it's one male, one female. They can't both win next week. One of them is going to go home. Just which one is it going to be? But this grouping, this amulet group, they're still setting the table. They're putting the pieces out, and they know, I might have to get rid of you at some point, but let me at least know where the power lies now. And then when the time comes, I'm just going to best you. That's all it's going to be.
Yeah, and someone put in the chat earlier, like, an alliance of eight or nine people cannot exist. So they'll there's Chanel and Tori who are sitting ducks. Maybe you get rid of one of them, but they, and it's Hai who wants to be in charge. Omer just was in charge. I think Drea wants to be in charge. I think Romeo wants to be in charge. Half of that group wants to be in charge. So it's not going to last super long. What did you think about Drea telling them about the extra vote?
I thought it was smart. I think it builds confidence. And I also think it's not the most important advantage she has, so she can get away with telling people about it. Cause it's like, they already know she has the idol. So now she's actually even scarier to them. She has an idol and she has an extra vote. She's better than you. What are you going to do to her? You're going to have a hard time. Cause even if you do try to flush her idol, she has an extra vote that she can use to better herself. She's in a really good spot.
She's an idol, extra vote. And what's the third thing she has?
And then she has the amulet.
It's a shared extra vote. Right.
Yes.
Jeez. Yeah. And no one cares. Pretty impressive. Yep. I think because all the people who are involved, like the idol people, don't know about the amulet people, and Romeo isn't going to blow her up. So it's really delicate and it's really impressive.
Now, it's funny you say Romeo's not going to blow her up. Do we think at some point Romeo is going to blow her up? Like, do we think that Romeo is going to backstab Drea at some point? Just, it seems like he wants power, power, power. Could we see him trying to team up with a Hai or a Marianne? And, you know, he's trying to get his little people. That's what he kept saying.
Love the little people. I think he'll try to. I don't know if he'll succeed. I don't think this is nearly as obvious of a, like, Ricard and Shan thing. I think Drea, albeit stoic, I'll use the word against the word that, with that really uncomfortable, I'll just use, like, uncomfortable exchange between her and Marianne. I don't really know why that even happened. I think she's really not in her own head. And I think that's a really good thing. She doesn't seem to be overconfident at all. And Romeo, I think previously, like, Romeo had always seemed to be the really level-headed, like, person in that group alongside Drea. Now Romeo's the one who's like, I got to do it. And Drea's still looking super cool.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that that's going to help Drea. We're at this point now, though, where, okay, we just watched this happen. We saw everybody kind of take, you know, their shots at each other and do what they had to do. Who are you, like, when you're actually trying to weed through this and say, okay, everybody had a good episode tonight, but what's going on? Who are you looking at? It's like maybe like your top three contenders. Like, if you had to actually say, we saw a lot of like Mike, Jonathan, Drea, Romeo. who are your three though that you're like, you know, that's where I think this is actually going right now?
I think after this, I think who could win are Omer, Drea, and maybe Jonathan, but he's been around. His name is already out there. I think if Marianne gets to the end that she could win, because I think even now, and this is what made me nervous for tonight, people are telling her like, oh, you're not all sweet and innocent. Like, you've got some ammo, you've got some stuff. And so I think for her to get to the end would be really impressive. So that's kind of who I'm immediately thinking of.
Yeah. I mean, I totally get where you're coming from with that. I'm just like, so I think Marianne could win if she gets to the end. And I say to myself now, like, oh, well, why wouldn't people vote for Marianne if she gets to the end? But then at the same time, it's like, well, why didn't they vote for Natalie Tenorelli? She was 19 years old and she made it to the end. Like,
well, there's a bit of a major difference between the two.
But what I'm saying is it's hard to just say, oh, because of who they are, I think that they – like, it'd be hard not to vote for them. There's still so much game left to be played with.
Oh, no, I'm not saying because Marianne's, like, 19 and innocent. I think because, like, they think – it's kind of like the Erica being a lion. Like, you think she's this, but actually Erica did all these things that we didn't say. But
and I think, too, where this is going to change is either Marianne is going to take it by the horns from here on out because she has the idol and she can start to play, or she's going to fade. I don't think she's going to fade. That's where I'm more saying, though, like, part of me right now is like, why wouldn't you vote for Marianne if she's sitting at the end? But we don't know what anybody else is going to do as they move through, too.
Yeah, of course.
So Marianne is, like, right below. I would have, like she'd be, like, my four or five right now just because she has the idol. And these idols are becoming so powerful because people are getting too scared to flush them. They're getting too scared. I don't get it.
But and now there's, like, there's not a lot of space. Like, we could be barreling towards an advantage get-in.
We could, and we should be at this point. But somehow I'm still feeling somewhat satisfied. But I think Drea, I think Drea definitely has a shot. And I know some people are saying she's not getting the edit. She's got a lot of content, and she's getting more every day. I think Jonathan has a shot, and I think Mike has a shot. Mm-hmm. Those are my top three. Marianne and Romeo and Omer are probably right beneath that. And my main reason for Omer is, and Marianne, and Romeo, all three of them. We've never seen anybody like them win. And I know we haven't seen anybody like Jonathan or Mike really win either. But those three to me, it's like Omer was so smooth tonight. How is nobody going to pick up on how good this guy is at the game before they let him get to Final Five? And at this point, he is the one person with no advantages. He doesn't have one. So you can cut him if you need to, which you can't do to Marianne or to Drea. Mm-hmm. Or to Romeo, kind of, right now. Romeo's in good enough of a spot.
I think he also has, like, a much, much more muted version of the Marianne effect. He's very goofy and silly and, like, doesn't have confessionals about how much he needs to be in power. He has confessionals about how he's, like, he's being very solution-oriented. He's like, one of my people might be going home. I am going to fix that. Rather than, like, creating himself as... like as a leader. And I think that's really telling. And I think that's a really, really good quality.
Yeah, for sure. Trying to think if there's anything else. I mean, we covered a lot. We'll have plenty for the predictions episode. That's for sure. I just really want Mike to win. Come on. Like, you know, just Mike win.
Yeah.
Especially in the season where, like, this isn't me just, like, taking a shot at you, Alexa, because obviously you were going to love her no matter what. But in a season where, like, Chanel, when she was, like, released as a cast member, everybody was like, this is a Survivor winner. Like, this is literally what
a Survivor winner is. It's like a Wendell made in a lab. Like,
yeah, and I'm over here just being like, man, Mike, man, you guys got your eyes on him, and I'm getting made fun of in every freaking thing I do where it's like, of course, this is Phil going with the old guy. I finally found my old guy who knows what the hell they're doing. I love it.
He's really fun. And he's like, again, just all of these players are playing very differently than like how their archetype does. And I think that's really refreshing. I'm so happy with this season. If they do the Hourglass Twist just like this again, I can live with it. Mm-hmm. I know that they can't we can't possibly have people not earn their way into the merge, even though that's exactly what the point of a merge is. But I don't know I'm not happy about it, but I'm not going to complain because the rest of this episode was so good. Do you think they're going to introduce anything else other than the do or die? Do you think they're going to find a way to shoehorn the knowledge is power or no?
I don't think so.
I hope not.
I don't think so. I don't think that they're going to be able to. I think there's so many advantages right now. You just kind of have to let it play. And I think really for the most part last season, weren't most of the advantages given in the pre-merge? Most of them. I know most of them were pre-merge.
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to think of what came after, but
I can't remember. I'm trying to forget last season.
Yeah, I really can't remember. But I also think like people didn't really play their stuff too much either. And I think the only thing that would get rehidden is an idol.
Yeah, which at this point, nobody's going to be playing idols. If they do, there's still going to be so many left. I don't know if they'll be rehiding them. So either way, I'm happy with how this is working out. And I will say, like, they've given somebody to root for. Mm-hmm. Everybody on this season, you can root for based on where you're at in your life or, like, whatever you're
– Yeah, I'm rooting for, like, pretty much everybody, which is something that happens.
When I call Romeo and Tori villains, I love it. I love watching them play. I love that Tori won tonight. I'd love to see Romeo run this thing. I really would. But I'm loving watching Drea. I'm loving watching Mike. I'm loving watching Jonathan. I'm loving watching Marianne. I'm loving watching all of them because they're all bringing something different. And they don't feel – the other thing with this season, and this is really the last thing I'll say because it's 11 and I want to go to bed. Like this – everybody feels overly authentic. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like 41 – there was – obviously, there's always going to be authenticity on Survivor. But they all knew they were playing Survivor. And I think we've seen that in a couple seasons now. Like, and this always goes back to my whole, like, if you're playing Survivor to play Survivor again, then we're not really getting who you really are because you're more focused on how am I going to do this. Now, I'm not saying that's what 41 was doing, but somebody brought up a good point. It's kind of like they edited the pre-merge people so well that we didn't get as much from the post-merge people, which made it more difficult. Erica and Heather, this duo that we didn't even get to see for a majority of the game, would have been nice to have seen what that was. But all of these people just feel like they're like, you know what? This is who I am, and if you can't handle it, too freaking bad. Every one of them, though, right across the board, from Romeo to Mike, from Tori to Drea, they are all exactly who they said they were going to be when they came out on the show. And it's really working. That doesn't normally happen on Survivor. It's not a knock on the other players, but normally you get out there and a different version of yourself than who you really are comes out. It's not happening on the season.
Yeah, this season's been really great. I'm really happy with it. I'm happy to like walk away from the merge episode like in a completely different place from last time. I know that I'll be podcasting with Phil Saturday morning. Last time it was extremely unclear, and I think it actually didn't happen. So yeah, we're gonna be back Saturday morning-ish. Again, we're gonna reach out to a guest, not 100% sure if we're gonna get one, but stay tuned for that. We'll post on the internet. And become a patron. We have we're uploading stuff on our Patreon like literally once a day, and it's all thanks to our dear friend McKenna Feeney, who is also a patron. But now's a great time to become a patron, patreon.com/survivorspecialist. What else, Phil? Anything else to push?
No, that's it. I'm looking forward to next week. I think, you know, it's setting up to be good. And it's Easter Sunday, so we're gonna be doing this on Saturday.
There's many, many holidays this weekend. So Passover, Easter, whatever you're into, make sure you celebrate. Or don't, whatever you're into.
Or don't. If you're not into celebrating, then don't celebrate.
Yeah. Sounds sad. All right. Have a lovely evening, everyone. It's so late.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.